today.
Are you tired of living with stained and worn out carpeting? Does the den look like bears spent the winter with you? Spring is here, and so is Empire Today's half-off your project sales, starting now, but only for a limited time. Save 50% on a huge selection of carpet, hardwood, and laminate, standard padding and materials, and basic installation. Call the Empire Today half-off your project sale hotline now.
1-855-385-0681.
Empire Today's free in-home estimates are easy and smart. Choose from high-quality flooring in the rooms where you'll use them, with your lighting, so you can see the color best. We'll do the measuring. You do the selecting and saving. But first, you must do the calling. Everyone loves the half-off your project sale. Even bears. Call the Empire Today special hotline.
1-855-385-0681. 1-855-385-0681.
Empire
Today. Select styles. Details at empiretoday.com.
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening once again, my brothers and my sisters, and welcome to yet another hopefully exciting night on the PRF table. I'm your host, Brother Dunlap. Also sitting at the table with me is Sister Mary Ann Williams, a.k.a. or also known as Mama. So, Mama, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine, thank you. How are you?
We are doing very well, doing very well.
That's good.
Well, tonight,
good.
I just want to let everybody know, tonight is going to be our last and final night, not of the PRF table itself, but really, as we really just deal with the final episode, I would say, dealing with financial resources, availability, needs, and effectiveness. And last week, we had such, I would say, it was a rich conversation, and we really talked about how community leaders can be, and I believe should be, a part of the life of the church or whatever type of religious organization that sits within another community. And one of the things that we talked about last week was we talked about question number 15, and it was really all about those individuals who, asking the question, who are those individuals that are involved in providing financially related resources to members of your religious organization? So to put it plainly and simple as this, who are the people that help contribute to the financially related resources of you, the people within your own religious context, whether it's your church, synagogue, mosque, or whatever the case may be? And I think as members of religious organizations, all of us, we, one of the things that we came up with, or one of the points that came from last week's show, was we really must not devalue, but actually value everybody who God has placed in and around our body. So there was some conversation last week, and there was conversation on the week before. The week before last, we were talking about nonprofit organizations. So then we just wrapped it up as we talked about community leaders. And y'all actually broke it out, Mom, everybody who was sitting down at the table last week.
Yes.
You were the ones who actually broke it out and brought the political leaders in and talked about they're part of the community, but they're also considered to be community leaders in the minds of some individuals. So
yes,
we wrapped up last week really talking about practicality and effectiveness. And we dealt with the last couple of questions on the survey, the question, how effective are those resources that are being made available to you? How practical are the type of resources that's being made available to you? And it's important for everybody to remember, especially those who are listening for the first time, even though this is the finale show, that we're not just talking about money. So we've identified resources as those individuals or those things that God has placed on the earth to be able to help all of us with our particular situations. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be a dire type of situation. It just needs to be a situation that needs help. And we all know, Mama, that we all need help in one shape, form, or fashion. And again, it doesn't have to be, you know, where it's just so bad that's the time when we come out and reach out for actual help. So I'm glad that we were able to really just take our time over these last 8 weeks. This is our ninth week. But I'm glad that we were really able to take our time and just talk about so many different areas. We talked about needs. We talked about availability. And the third and final section of the survey was practicality and effectiveness. Before we go any further, Mama, I really want to just see if there's anything that you wanted to bring before the table about last week's show, if you had anything briefly that you wanted to bring out, because I really left y'all hanging, and I did that intentionally because I said tonight we were going to do something very, very different. But anything on practicality and effectiveness that you wanted to bring out or any comments from last week's show, I just give the mic to you and let you go for it.
Okay. I think about the need first, and sometimes in all of our lives we'll have a need. And like you said, it's not all the time about, a life or death situation. But at that time, it is a need that you need some assistance with, you know what I mean? And but in order, for myself, I mean, if I wasn't on this show, I wouldn't even have thought about it. Well, you know, if I have a need, then I would have asked at that particular time. And sometimes it's a little too late. Depends on what your situation is. That maybe something that may take 2 weeks, and because say I don't pay any attention to it. I can even see it coming, but say, let me see what I can do or whatever, and knowing that it's too large for me to handle, I still hoping and believing and seeing what I can do. So that's taking up time, it's eating away at that 2 weeks. And then I decide, okay, let me go and see what my church have. See what they can do for me, And then by that time, I find out that there are some barriers, and it's going to take time and things of that nature. So we really need to know. I'm glad that I do know what's available. You know what I'm saying? I didn't even realize that, it's going to depend on my poverty. The poverty guidelines that, what do I do? My gosh, I go to this organization that helps, but if I'm not, and making $2 a month, I'm just exaggerating here. Now I can't get any help from that organization at all. So it's good to find out, and I'm glad that you're bringing this out, because it's really have just given me a really 360 degree turn on how the church needs to help, and how by me being a member, I really need to know not just what time the services are and the Sunday school and the special. So I need to know what is really going on in my church when it comes to resources. And that's all I have to say. Go ahead. I'm going to say, what's going to add to that, then I need to know, are they available, And then, it takes in everything you say. You have the need, but, is it available to you? So in my church, I know there's a limit there. Now I got to go before the board, see what I'm saying? And then if the board can help me, they'll go to the community outreach ministry, what I'm saying? And then, of course, to me, that'd be blocked for me because I'm in a poverty situation, what I'm saying? So, right. I mean, according to their guidelines, So it's not available. And whether it's practical or not, I just believe that you should be able, since we've been discussing this, and I'm, that I should be able to just be able to get assistance without going through so much red tape, And then when you have to go through that, because then how effective is it for me, So it goes back to knowing the resource because now I know that I'm probably going to have to find another way, because I know that it's limitation here and it's limitation there and it's limitation there. So it gives me knowledge to know that I better find out, because I know it has to be more resources. So now I know to start checking and see about the other resources just in case. Yes.
And what I hear from you, if I can sum up so much of what you just said, is that it's good to have some type of evaluative process in place.
Yes.
And we're talking about your organization where you go to church. It's good if there is some type of evaluative process in place so that you as the members are able to identify what's available as you deal with where are the needs, as you deal with what are my needs and if I'm in need right now or if somebody else is in need. So the practicality of all that we've talked about, all of those things that are out there to help you as a member and the rest of the members in your particular congregation, if nobody has anything to evaluate what's effective and what's not effective, if nobody has something that is there, that is established, that talks about whether something is practical or non-practical, what is it going to really do? How beneficial is your congregation going to be when it comes to this area of PRF? And the last thing I would say is everybody has their own evaluative process. Some of what you're speaking from is your evaluative process is based upon what was given to you and what was not given to you.
Right.
Based upon what you have to go through or what you perceive that you have to go through. And maybe what your perception about what you have to go through to get help or to be able to offer assistance, because sometimes that's another barrier, that sometimes people want to help, but they don't know who to help because some people are not letting it be known who those individuals are. And we did touch on that briefly about 2 weeks ago, just briefly trying to deal with, you know, what are some of the barriers. And I believe that we can actually come at a later point and really delve down into what are some of the barriers that hinder us as members of congregations, as the organization as a whole, even as ministerial leadership. So I want people to take away that point. It's good to have some type of evaluative process so you know how you can help one another. And the second part of that point would be, if you don't have an evaluative process, pray and seek God on an evaluative process that can be utilized inside of your church. And so when I say that, those two points or those two comments, I want everybody to know who's listening, everybody, whether you're listening live or on the archives, that we are available here on the PRF table to be able to help in that area. All you have to do is reach out and contact us. So with that, what I want to do is just shift gears, as we were just talking a little bit about last night, to kind of catch some of you who may be listening for the first time or missed some previous shows, just to kind of catch you up a little bit. But what we want to do tonight, last week we promised that we would have some live results, Mama. Live
yes.
results from some communities, whether they were churches, whether they were synagogues, whether they were mosques, whether they were local community organizations. I know the last 8 weeks have been specifically about analyzing resources that have been made, that are being made available to you as people inside of religious organizations. But if we have time, if I feel led, I may bring in some of the results from resources that are made available to members of the local community from the religious organization. But the focus tonight is really going to be on dealing with, you know, what are some of the live results that are out there. And you know, I want us to share tonight, and I want to allow you who are listening the opportunity to really discuss what we're going to hear from different religious organizations. And I promise you, I am so grateful that there have been so many members and organizations as a whole that have been so gracious to participate in what I will say is a labor of love. You know, nobody has to do anything for you. Nobody has to participate in these type of processes. But there's a lot of people. I mean, there's a lot of people that have taken the time and that followed their leadership, followed the guidance of their leadership, the suggestion of their leadership, and just done it as individuals without anybody having to ask more than once. So for all of those who are listening, all of you who are out there, you know who you are. I am so grateful, and I definitely will say thank you in another format, but I just wanted to put that publicly over the air as we get into tonight's show. All right, so Mama, here we go.
Yes.
You dealt with the survey, and in the survey we had three areas. We had area dealing with needs, and we had another area of the survey, which was the longest section of the survey, which dealt with the availability of resources. And then the final survey, as you just may have heard, those who tuned in, we talked about practicality and effectiveness. And what I want to do is just really share some of the results. And I want people to really just to listen to our conversation and whoever else decides to take a seat at the table with us. If you are listening via the web or via the Internet, you can dial 914-338-1692. Press 1, you can join the conversation, or you can sit silent and then listen that way, or you can hit us up on our Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances, and ask your question or comment. We'd love to bring you into the conversation that way. So here we are. As you listen to some of these results, I really want to just go provide some of the results, some of the percentages based upon different organizations as a whole and their participation. And as I provide the results and just throw out there, you know, I have to come back to what the questions are and before I provide the actual the percentages. And I want us to think about it before we respond. I want everybody to kind of think about this. As you hear these results, and this is where I'm going to be coming to everybody who's sitting at the table tonight. As you hear these results, as you hear these percentages to these responses on the questions, what does it do to you? What does it do to you as a believer? What does it do to you as a child of God, regardless of what your religious affiliation, denomination is, or faith group? What does it do to you as somebody who cares about other people inside of your community who may or may not be affiliated with your religious organization at all? What does it do to you as you listen to these results? And then a follow-up question that I want to pose for everybody is, as you listen to these results, what if these results are from your church and you don't even know it? What if the results are from your church or your mosque or your synagogue and you don't even know it? And let me add something to that to get your mind really going tonight. What if this is that sister church down the street from you in your community? What if it's the church right next door to you or across the street in your community? Those are some serious questions, but let me just go to the survey now that I got you kind of thinking. Let me just start off with needs. And the first question was, as a whole, describe the economic condition of the members within your religious organization. For to be discreet, let me just say it like that. I'm getting tongue-tied tonight. I won't disclose the name of the religious organization in this forum, and I really don't think that it truly matters. The only thing that really matters is the results of what the people are responding to in the surveys. But as a whole, describe the economic condition of the members within your religious organization. So we have three different organizations I'm going to provide results for. So one of them says 69%, and let me go this. I'm going to go A, B, and C. So if you want to take notes, A, B, and C. So A church says 87% maintaining. C church, 55%. And the other is 69% is thriving. So there's evidently these churches that have been surveyed, they're saying, look, we're maintaining. So our economic condition within our congregation or within our religious organization is not doing bad. Sounds good. So let's move on. The next question is, select the number one need that requires the most attention in your individual and or your family life. Every last one of these three organizations, the highest results was money. the number one need that requires the most attention in your individual or your family life? Money. First Church had 93%. 93% of the people that participated, and there's a lot of people that participated in these surveys. The Second Church, 67%. The Third Church, 77%. I'm going to read this last one. I think that we can have some little bit discussion just to hear your thoughts. When I asked them about this, the number one need that requires the most attention by the religious organization, they all said the same thing. The First Church was at 87%. The Second Church was at 68%, only a 1% difference. And the Third Church dropped a little bit, 27% down to 50%. So the number one need that requires the most attention in their individual life is money. All three churches. But then the number one need that also requires the most attention by their religious organization, meaning this is what the organization needs to, if you can have your religious organization get a little bit more attention to one of the five core areas that we listed on there, food, transportation, clothing, housing, and money. It's money. So Mama, I can't say that I've done a 100% analysis of all of these results. But when I think about that, me personally, I said, it's clear what people are saying that they need.
Yes.
And it's clear what they're saying that the church needs. But let me give another statistic. Well, did you have any comments? I'm going to give it to you. Did you have any comments? Was any of that?
Yes, because I was thinking
is
that, I beg your pardon?
Was any of that surprising?
No. Because, because it just me, it seems like I can find a way, you know, if I need food, there are just food banks all over the place, you know. If I need transportation, you know what I mean? They have it for senior citizens, you know. But if I have a money need, I need to be, you know, you have to go to somebody that, and I usually go to somebody that I think that have some money. If I have money, I think. Now, I don't know that, but I'm thinking, well, maybe they can help me. And see, thinking really doesn't get it, because I need to know where I can go, because I might be able to come to you five times, but the sixth time I come to you, I'm sorry, I don't have it. So I need to know what the reason, where I can really what is my church going to do to help me financially, because
I am a member here. Let me say this. We're just talking about needs right now. So, again,
okay.
Always talking, because I think what you're doing is you're shifting right now to availability, and we'll get there. But as far as those needs, you know, this is what these individual members are saying about their individual life, and also about their particular religious organization that they're affiliated with. And so one of the things I think is important is this. Because those percentages are so high, that tells me that there is something or somebody that needs to bring some attention to it if there's not attention already being addressed. But we can't just stop there just because the need is high. So let's look at the rest of what has been provided. When I asked the question about what needs are addressed, so we have what they said was the most, requires the most attention by the religious organization. But listen to what they said when I asked the question about what needs are actually addressed. One church, their numbers was like 25 to 29%. They said, look, our church are actually, my religious organization is actually addressing food, transportation, and money. And I thought that was interesting that it's actually kind of evenly spread out. The other religious organization said money. So only one of the three actually had a high percentage of money. The other one said the one that needs to be addressed is food. So I thought that was an interesting dynamic. The thing I think that is more interesting than anything is the religious organization that specifically said, 59% said, what needs are actually addressed. 59% said money. This is what is your organization addressing? Money, 59%. However, 68% said it needs the most attention, and 67%, same organization, said that requires the most attention in their own life. So to me, what that says, as I'm looking at these results, something is not clicking. If the need is still there, if the organization needs to address it or requires the most attention, but then they're also addressing it, maybe there's a disconnect between how they're actually addressing it. Now, I have to be fair with these results. I don't know how they're doing it because, again, we're just in the section that deals with needs. But when I look at the next part of the survey, it talks about what needs are most neglected by the religious organization. The first organization, it was like an even split among all of the responses, food, clothing, housing, transportation, and money. The second one, they had everything except for food. But the last one, their highest percentage was transportation. So what I would look at this as, if I was actually speaking directly to this particular organization, I would say, do you think that there is a connection between the need for money and the need for transportation? Transportation is being neglected. But money is the one thing that the congregation or the institution needs to address. Think about it. If the needs that are being addressed and the needs that are being neglected are so far off, then that's not a bad thing. That's pretty much a good thing. But when the need that is actually addressed is so close to what requires the most attention, so close to what's the need in that person's individual family life, then we have to revisit it. That would be my suggestion to those who are listening. One of the questions on the survey said, what was like the number one concern that requires the most attention? I thought it was interesting because the first organization said that there's nothing. That kind of confuses me, Mama.
Yes.
What that says to me, and let me give you the choice, we're not talking about food, clothing, housing, or transportation or money. We're talking about the concerns. So the concerns was employment, financial literacy, retirement, politics, or retirement/politics, and then none. So the first one is cool. They're okay, 40%. But it was also interesting that wasn't it. Financial literacy and employment were both 27% for the same organization that had 40% that said none. So they see something that's out there that needs some attention. But when I asked them about what was actually addressed, same thing. 67% said none of those things, employment, financial literacy, retirement/investment policy, none of those things were addressed. I think that's something that may want to be something that particular organization wants to look at. If the people are saying, 27% say, we want some financial literacy, and we think that needs some attention by our organization. Same thing with employment. Most people who work get paid. So if there's some religious organization needs of money, but then there's some people out there that feel that we are not addressing their employment concerns or their financial literacy concerns, everything is tied in together.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that I thought really was interesting was 42% of the third organization mentioned financial literacy.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm also proposing is, this is what I'm thinking. I wonder how many people before this survey actually have gone to the leadership of their religious organization and say, think about those 42% that talked about financial literacy, that said, this is something that we really need to get addressed because it's not being addressed. It doesn't mean, and I was specific in my wording when I mentioned the word addressed, because it doesn't mean that they have to be the one. That organization has to be the one that does the actual addressing from the perspective of providing the actual literacy content itself. It could be that you go around the corner to another religious organization that is already doing that, has something in place for financial literacy, and just connect them to that particular organization.
Mm-hmm.
I know some of the responses that I've heard from talking on and people that have been on this show before that talked about, you know, what's the problem? Why can't we get together as religious organizations? Another show, another day. But I think that's those responses that were provided, I think those things are relative.
Mm.
When I ask the question, and then this is summing up really what needs are. When I ask the question about what concerns do you have that are most neglected in your own life, in your own family, that first organization, 59% of those individuals said retirement/investments. Retirement/investment, 59%. So here's what I would throw out there. If that is the most neglected, and I know this as a religious leader, then I want to believe, I would say that I have some responsibility as a leader to be able to address that concern. Again, we're not proposing that you have to have classes on employment or financial literacy. You got to have classes on retirement and investing. You got to talk about. I'm not saying you have to talk about all of those as the religious leader in that particular organization, but we can find a way somehow to be able to address their concerns. It's a sad thing, and I'm gonna be quiet and see if you have anything that you want to bring on the table, Mama. But I think it's a sad thing if you have people that are concerned about retirement and they feel like there's nothing that they can do. The reality is some people have lost their retirements because of mismanaging the money of the particular organization that they may have worked for. Some people have made certain decisions like pulled out their 401k because things were kind of tight. Some people spent their money in their 401ks and wasted their retirement. Even though those may be the reasons, does that mean they're still not worthy of saying, okay, how can we address this so that that individual or those individuals have less of a concern about how they're going to make it when it gets to their golden years? So, Mama, I just wanted to bring some of those results and see if you or anybody else that's listening wanted to jump in and talk about, you know, what is it that you're thinking now? You know, what is it if this was, again, your sister organization around the corner?
Okay, what I'm thinking about is that I've been saved about 28 years, you know, and I have, you know, over that period of time, it was like, this is what we need to do, you know. I'm just going to quickly overview of just my experience, you know. It was never anything on this nature, you know. It was like, as the sermon is coming forth, it would be, you know, talked about, you know, be a good steward, you know, steward of your money, and thing. But it was not explosion on it. It was said, you know. And I'm looking back over 27 years. And most of my time was spent in church,
right.
And I didn't get, you know, that you need. It was like you just need to make sure you save money, you know, for a rainy day. That was just the statement that was said, you know, because you know we have hard, we all fall on hard times, and you know you need to be saving your money and things of that nature. But you know, it just really. I mean, to me, it was totally neglected. And then, when I got older and in a church, it was addressed. It was just not on my mind. You know what I'm saying? You know, we had the class, and that was it, and there was no more said about it. So, and what I'm thinking is that we all, you know, we're different. We all come from different walks of life. And therefore, you know, we have, everybody has some needs, and we're not all, you know, we are ignorant in some things because we don't know, you know. But, you know, if the church is where we go most of the time, and we still have to live in this world, you know what I'm saying? So these are things that I think that, and then before I even say that, sometimes our leaders don't know that themselves, you know. So how can, if they don't know themselves, how can they bring it to the congregation? Because they don't know it themselves. I mean, it could be just like I am, you know, and then God called them into the ministry, and they're just about as ignorant as I am about it, you know. So I'm just saying, you know, is that, you know, it just needs to be, that is really a concern that I think that we should really be about people. And something you had said, like even in my church, I can see where someone has a need. I don't have to say anything to me or anything, but I can just see, you know, if I see a mother, you know, your children, say a little girl's shoes running over and things. You know, I mean, I can see a need, but nothing's ever addressed, period, about helping. You know, what can do to help? But you can see people looking and whatnot. They're not saying anything, but they're looking, you know. But that little girl, the little girl can go for 6 or 7 months, you know.
But let me say this. I don't want us to get off track tonight about, you know, anything other than what the results of those individual religious organizations. You know, this is something that they're experiencing. This is a right now thing. This is not a 15-year ago,
and
this is 5 years.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. You know, from my point of view, this is why I am where I am, because I'm ignorant of it, and it wasn't, and even where I am, say right now, I'm not, you know, so far. Now, because we do have life classes and we do have financial classes, but it's taught. But is there a resource? No.
Can I piggyback off of?
Go ahead.
What you're saying? I kind of wanted to reiterate what you said, is that sometimes they don't know that they don't know. So I think with the results that you know, you're getting on the surveys, it's because, you know, people have a different, it could be that people have a different understanding of what need is. As far as the financial part, I just wanted to put this part in, because some people say they need money when they really want it, you know, because your need means, are you, your basic needs being met? Are you eating? Do you have a roof over your head? Do you have clothes on your back? Right.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to live like the Joneses across the street, who they're pushing a Lincoln, they in a, you know, 6-bedroom house, and you know they got jewelry on every, or rings on every finger. That's not a need. They have excess, right? So, for the first thing I want to say is that is it truly a need? Are they understanding? Are the, you know, the financial needs? What a need actually is. And it is relative to a lot of people. Some people feel like, I need a ring on my finger. But if we're saying having the basic needs being met, we still have to, you know, take that into consideration, and that the definition of the need is different for every person. If it wasn't spelled out specifically for each church, for each person that took the survey. And then I think it's important to understand that not every church is going to be able to even if it's a true need, they may not be able to fill that true need every single time. So the person who says, or who thinks that they need, you know, this money, and they come back 5 times, well, what happens between the first and the fifth time? that you didn't learn or get resources, whatever other resource to assist you in not needing it the second, the third, the fourth, and the fifth time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was the resource given to you and you didn't use it? Or was the resource not available in the church? Because either case is possible. And that's where collaborating amongst the churches can help meet a greater need, because if it's not available in my church, then maybe it isn't available in the church down the street. If they can meet the need, and I said this before on a previous call, but if they can meet the need, because we don't have that resource in this church, then maybe they have a member who needs a resource that we do have. And so we're getting everybody's need met, if it's a true need.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you have to make sure that the word need and want is clearly defined
mm-hmm.
in the survey, because that can skew the results too. But I definitely agree that the need and the presence of the resource, if the need is high and they're saying that the resource is available, that is a problem. Because, again, there is a disconnect, like you said, because one of two things is happening. Either the people are not grasping the information that is provided to them, or the information, or actually it's three things. The information provided for them is over their heads,
mm-hmm.
or whatever they're providing is not actually what they need.
Mm-hmm. And I guess I'll jump in and say, I guess I'll give maybe one or two points just from listening to the both of you. One thing that I want to caution everybody at doing is being judgmental with just what the results are,
mm-hmm.
or condemning individuals just because of what the results are.
Right.
Because oftentimes you can only get at the core of what a person understands or believes or defines as needs and wants based upon having some type of relationship with them.
Right.
So if I never have a conversation with any, let's go back to the survey results. When they said 77% of the third organization said the number one need that requires the most attention in their own or their family life, 77% of the people, if it was 100 people, that's 77% saying, look, that's a big need, regardless of how many people it is. But I had to be willing to have a conversation with that individual and find out more information about what they perceive as a need and what they perceive as a want. And then we'll find out sometimes, this is what I truly believe, and I know it's happened in the past, when we have those conversations, then we may find out that money was not really the need.
Right. That was
let's
what I was
up,
trying to...
Let's open up what this whole thing is about. This is about the totality of PRF at its finest. So as I get in there and I start having this conversation, whether it's to the organization itself as a whole or whether it's individuals in a small group or one-on-one, and I find out your issue is not even that you need more money.
Mm-hmm.
Your issue may be a debt. It may be something that you need to adjust with debt. Maybe you need to consolidate four or five of those student loans. Stop trying to pay four or five individual student loans. Maybe somebody needs to truly file for bankruptcy and get a fresh start. Maybe they may need to do something a little bit different. Maybe they need to stop spending their money. So it may not be that they need more money. They may need to slow down and stop on their spending.
Exactly.
But unless we're willing to have those type of open, honest conversations, those open, honest dialogues, like we have here on the PRF table. And you'll have people that are sitting, and this is what it does for me, to hear some of these results saying, man, how more effective can this particular organization or that particular organization really be if they didn't have some of these things, these needs or these concerns? And then the other thing that I could say, this is the last point I will make. What I wonder, and it's not really a point, but what I wonder about, what I ponder over is, how are their needs and how are their concerns affecting them, their household, their religious organization, and their community. A lot of us know individuals that have been burdened by debt. And when you start getting deep down into this thing with PRF, you say, well, how did that affect that individual when they know that they were so heavily in debt? Did they make wiser decisions when it came to their money? Did they automatically just start changing their spending habits? Did it have a strain on their marriage or their relationship? Were they not able to provide things for their children? So that's, for me, that's what it does for me, y'all. It has me pondering, it has me wondering, what other effects is this having on that individual, mentally and spiritually? Because if the word says that God, my God, will supply all your needs according to the riches and glory, which is in, if and since the word says that, but yet you have these individuals that are saying, hold on, you're telling me to trust God, but my needs are not being met. And the fact that some of the needs may not be needs, Shatara. They may just be wants.
Right.
It may be their perception of what is a need. Some people think that they need to live in a house.
Yes.
Your tail may need to live in an apartment until you can afford an actual house. But yeah. Somebody may need to hear that. Somebody may need to be honest with somebody to say that. And saying it in love, you may really need or you may not need to buy this house right now. You know your credit's sitting on 450. But just because they can get you a house may not be the smartest decision. That's where wisdom comes in there. So anything else that y'all wanted to bring before we just go on to availability? This is going so fast tonight. I'm just amazed.
Well,
right.
I have something, but you can go ahead. Move on. I want to
you
get
sure?
more done. Yes.
Okay.
I can post it online.
Okay, that'll be great. Let's deal with availability. I'm gonna reserve my comments. And I'm gonna just read what the results were. So, when I asked about my religious organization offers resources to assist me in the area or assist us. Thing we're talking about, the totality of the organization that assists us in the areas of finances or stewardship. One of the organizations, 67% said no. Another organization, 60% said yes. Let's just go right there. 67% said my organization does not offer any resources to assist us in the area of finances or stewardship. I thought I could hold my comment. I'm amazed. Mm-hmm. I'm not shocked because that was kind of like my hypothesis for some, you know, but it's not a true. It didn't prove to be 100% true because one of the other three organizations, 6% said yes. So you have some higher results there. So it's kind of split if you're just taking those two organizations. But I'm not concerned about the 60% of the one organization that is saying yes. I'm really more concerned, y'all, about the 67% in one organization that said no. Go ahead, y'all.
Well, again, I think clarity on the definition, because resources and finances, I find it hard to believe that they don't get. And I don't mean to be judgmental if it's coming across that way, but that you get no resources on stewardship,
mm-hmm.
nothing, like absolutely nothing. Maybe they're understanding resources as financial only, but I mean, even if like pray ye one for another, that's to me, if you have art with your brother, you know, go to him, talk, you know, come together, pray together, fellowship. If you have a dinner, you know, at the church, everybody's coming out and fellowshipping. To me, that's a resource, because you never know. That's networking. You're just networking within the church or within your religious organization. You never know what comes out of that. So for them to say, I mean, and it could be true. It's just amazing to me too. That 67% is saying no, that they don't get any resource towards stewardship. How to take care of your, you know, taking care of your home, taking care of each other, taking care of the house of God or whatever your religious edifice is. That's stewardship. That's stewardship. So, you know, it's taking care of the things that you do have. It's stewardship. So that's shocking.
It's shocking, right?
Yes.
So, again, let me throw this out there to you. I have the benefit of knowing the various organizations that have participated, some a little bit more in-depth than others, and I can say for 100% that 67% is accurate.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
It's
true. I'll help them.
Now,
okay.
To be fair, because I'm always going to be fair with the results, I can't attest to the, you know what, I'll take that back. The other one that had 60% that said yes, I can't attest to the 60%, but I know from being involved to a certain degree that that particular organization does help their membership.
Okay.
But I do know 100% that one with 67 that said no, they on it.
Okay. That's very shocking, and because, I mean, even, like I said, something as simple as pray you one for another, you know, love thy neighbor, you know, getting along, taking care of the house of God, you know, taking care of your house or your apartment or your brother and sister if they're sick, you know, that type of thing to me is stewardship. Like you're just caring for the things that you do have. And if the church is not teaching you to do that, to take care of each other and take care of the church, you know, the actual building, and not just the body, then, yeah, that's scary.
It's scary.
So the resource.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I think and what you're bringing out is so important. How is stewardship defined? Again, I was very, very intentional about asking about finances and or stewardship. So we really don't know if that 67% was dealing with more about stewardship or if it was more about finances or if it was a combination of both. But I think what it did was it provides some data to be able to provide a segue into leadership being able to say if this was something that was shared with leadership, which, you know, is not necessarily. But if it was provided to leadership or if leadership had a pulse on their particular organization and they knew that as well, then I think that provides an avenue for them to be able to say, if this is what the membership are saying, but yet I go back to the results of the first part of the survey where 93% of that same particular organization said that money requires the most attention in their personal life. 87% says of that same organization said that money requires the most attention by the organization. Then that 87%, that 93% matches up with that 67%.
Right.
They have to be included in that 87% and that 93%, right?
Right.
Because it's the same people. Oh, my goodness.
So it sounds to me like not just the members need the – I mean, it sounds like the leadership in the church may need, you know, some understanding of stewardship, and they may need to be taught about, you know, possessions, resources, and finances and how to be a good steward over it. Because like your mom said earlier, if they don't know, then they can't teach anybody else. And if they don't know that they don't know, then that's even worse situation. So it's kind of, you know, you got to figure out where the disconnect is from that and why those results are that way. Is it because the leadership is completely unaware, or do they not know that they don't know how to relay that information to the congregation or the members? And so then they have to go and be taught so that they can in turn teach the the people.
You know what becomes interesting when we go to the next one that talks about my state or my regional or my national religious organization? You know, so for example, if it was a Baptist organization, then you're talking about a state-level Baptist or the National Baptist or Southern Baptist or American Baptist, their denominational headquarters, those type of connections, right? Mm-hmm. So it asks the same question, but it's asking about that larger umbrella. 53%, and this was interesting, it just wasn't yes or no. That same organization had that 67% that said no. 53% also said they don't know. They don't know if their state, regional, or national religious organization provides resources. So maybe that they're saying, maybe them saying, 53% saying that they don't know, is not the worst thing in the world, but I think it's something relative. I think it's relevant. If I'm part of a religious organization that has an umbrella covering over it, mm-hmm. I should understand what that covering is providing back down to me. I would love to get further into it because the third organization, 60% of them said that they don't know. Now, here's the difference between the 53% with the ones that said no and the 60% of the second organization that said yes. The ones who said, hey, my religious organization, my local religious organization, they're providing this. So they're like cool for the most part, 60%. That's the majority. So it's not going to affect them too much if they know or don't know really because they're getting the assistance. My concern is the 67% that said, no, we're not getting anything in this area from our local organization. And then we don't even know 53% of them, other people say we don't know if our umbrella organization, if our parent organization is doing anything. Mm-hmm. I would not want to be a part of an organization where I don't know answers to certain questions, where I feel that I'm not getting any help. That's the 53%, I think, is bad. It has a potential for being bad, I would say that. The potential. Any more thoughts on availability? Again, I'm just picking out some things for us to really just to think about.
Just that, now, you know, just want to reiterate that availability, I mean, is subject to advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
So, if a resource is available in a church, it definitely needs to be widely publicized because, you know, how can the members of the organization use a resource that they don't know is available? They can't tap into it. So, you know, if just the deacon board knows about the resource, it doesn't really help the member who doesn't talk to the deacon.
Exactly. Or don't want to talk to them.
Right, or don't want to talk to him. Exactly.
Yeah, or unapproachable.
Right.
And you said deacons, and that's fine, but any type of religious leader, you know, I don't want to give anybody else a pass. You know, anybody that's like that.
Right.
Let me hit on number 14. I said verse number 14, which was, and I think this one is really, really critical. Do you know who to contact for access to the resources that were identified? So they talked about, the question before talked about, you know, hey, we know that we have religious books, we got financial literature, educational resources, social media. That third organization, 78% of them, 78% said they know who to contact.
Wow.
That's the third organization. For the second organization. The third organization, 50% of them said they do. They know who to contact. Here's what was really interesting. That first organization, one with the 67% that said, no, we don't get any resources to assist us from our local organization.
Mm-hmm.
40% of them said no. Within itself, that 40% saying no is not a dramatic thing when The third organization, 42% of them said no as well. So it's like kind of split with the third organization.
Okay. So did any of them say yes? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Good question. Did any of them say yes? Yes, some of them said yes. But what's more interesting on that organization is 33% of the people didn't even answer the question.
Oh, wow.
So 40 and 33 is 73%. You only have 27% left.
Mm-hmm.
So 27% could have said yes. But 33% said no, said not applicable, or didn't answer it, so it's not applicable. They just didn't answer that question. So now I'm wondering, did they not want to say that they don't know who to contact? Or did they not want to say it because they didn't want to kind of make it seem like their religious leadership is not doing what they're supposed to be doing? I'm real interested in what's the reason why you couldn't answer yes or no? Because 40% already said no. Think about it. 40% already said no. So regardless of what the numbers is, there's only 27% that possibly could have said yes.
Right.
Only 27%. So that means the numbers are still staggering because they don't know who to contact. So maybe they're not knowing who to contact is related to the previous part of the question about they're not being provided access or assistance by their religious organization. I thought that was interesting. I said, man, who is in that? Where is that 33%? What does that actually truly, truly mean? I'm just throwing it out there, just providing the results. When we talked about identifying the individuals, it should be no surprise that a lot of the results came back, or several people mentioned ministers/religious leaders. But two of the three religious organizations, they had a diverse split. So let me focus on that diverse split. What that says to me is you don't have that particular organization maybe set up where it's not one person that everybody has to go to. Because remember, we had laypersons as part of the responses, community leaders as part of the responses, nonprofit organizations as part of the responses, and we had other as well. So for them to select all a varied amount of all of those, I think that could be potentially a positive thing, depending on if they feel that their resources are actually available to them. Let me hit up on one thing. There was, when we talked about practicality, the results were scattered for that first organization. But the other two organizations, they were more in the somewhat effective, effective, and highly effective. 61%, 60% for two of the three organizations, 60 and 61%, somewhat practical. So what that tells me as far as the practicality, Mama, there's some work that can be done. Here's where I would push if I was involved or engaged in helping to transform this religious organization in regards to PRF. I would try to help them find ways to move from that somewhat practical to practical. From the somewhat effective over to the effective. So, again, I go back to, and I just throw this out there to both of y'all who are sitting with us tonight. You know, what does this do to you just hearing these type of results? What does this do to you? You know, what if that church, that synagogue, that mosque, whatever that religious organization is, what if it was that religious organization that is right there in your own community? What if this was not directly an organization, not directly in your own community, but an organization that several people that you love and care about actually attend. One of the things that I put, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
One of the things that I put on the Blog Talk site was, after you hear the results, what's next? What's next for your religious organization? What's next for you as a member of your religious organization? What's next? Go ahead, Mama.
I was just thinking that, you know, you just didn't, you know, if it was my sister church, my heart just goes out to them, you know, because they just really could not know what to do. You know, they don't know what to do. Sometimes it's a fear that comes in there, that this person's trying to, you know, to tell me what to do, you know. It's a sad situation, really, because, I mean, I'm just throwing that out there at you, but, I mean, not at you, but I'm just throwing this, you know, just saying this, you know, that, if it was in my church, because I'm concerned the position that I am in. I know who to go to. Things are in place. I talked to my pastor about it, and he says the reason why, because, you know, it was the church was just really getting ripped off, and they didn't know what else to do. So they put the board in place.
Why not see God? I mean, you know. Obvious choice for me.
I guess that's all they said, you know. They were just getting ripped off, and, you know, I didn't go any further with it. But, again, it's just sometimes people just, they don't know what to do. But I think those of us that do know what to do, whether they receive us or not, at least we can share what we know.
Exactly.
Just share what we know, and then, you know, pray and believe God to open up their understanding, you know.
I think it's, you know, what the church does after they find out that information, I think it's important to reach out.
I mean,
and communicate, because, again, we don't have that resource, and you guys do, we meet the need of the people, which is, you know, what we're supposed to do, go to them, not wait for them to come to us.
Mm.
So we go out. If we can't go out to, if we can't reach to each other, how can we reach them out there? So if you know a sister organization is lacking, or if they have a need and you can't fulfill the need, or you can't reach out to them to help fulfill that need or meet the need, how can you reach the person that's way out there? So once you realize that there's that deficit or that need, I think it's important that you communicate, start the dialogue.
As a holistic approach, I found that addressing the spiritual and economic conditions of and I say church, my particular religious organization, and community, this is something that is so of God, because as we just heard from these results, and again, these were not all of the results, but a lot of the results from a couple, particular religious organizations. That's what I say, that's some of what has driven me to founding this PRF table. You know, a radio teaching ministry, because we're not just talking about foolishness, or we're not talking about foolishness. We get foolish a little bit sometimes. We know that. Have fun with it. But there are some serious economic concerns that God has placed in my heart over these last several years, as he's just been building upon building upon building us to even get to this point right now. And in the 21st century, y'all, there are so many people that we just don't even know that are experiencing certain things. The results of tonight's surveys, only three of several organizations that participated graciously. Again, I go back to, what if this was the church that you go into fellowship with in revival all week? Sometimes we have to be vulnerable with the things that we have going on. Yes, when I presented these surveys, the individuals, I'm not calling the individuals out, I'm not speaking about the organization by name, but my prayer is that there will now be a way for them to communicate their concerns and their needs. If it has to be through, or it can be through us here at the PRF table, and we can be that mediator and that in-between, that go-between, we welcome it. I'm so grateful, y'all, that we've been able to just have all of this type of conversation, all of this dialogue over these last several weeks. And I really think that when it's all said and done, as we continue to operate out of Romans 12, 1 and 2, you know, and deal with transforming our thinking, religious leaders, community leaders that actually use this transformative teaching model that PRF really is, I think it has the ability, y'all, to really nurture communities and also communities of faith within the community, just like Acts 2, chapter 2, verses 42 to 47, which those of you, you know, both of you know, Shatara and Mama, both y'all know, that's foundational to the PRF. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and the prayer. A deep sense of awe came over all of them, and the apostles performed many miracles and wonders. All the believers met together in one place. They shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions, those who had land, and they shared the money with those people who were in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in each other's homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared the meals with each other. They did it with great joy. They did it with generosity. And I love verse 47. All the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. From our Christian perspective, that is a very great thing. Every day somebody was being saved because of all that the people were doing for each other. So if you're listening tonight, if these results didn't quite do anything to you, if they didn't move your heart, I would kindly ask you to go back and listen to the show and listen to it a little bit slower next time to really hear some of the staggering results that were out there, positive or negative. Closing comments. I'm about done, y'all. Mama, any closing comments for tonight?
Is that it's just important that we are knowledgeable of the resources. For me,
amen.
I didn't know. And so that's just coming up in my mind, is that we have to be knowledgeable, and our leaders have to be knowledgeable, you know, and not only knowledgeable, but they all, you know, because they can know, but not thinking that it's really important for us to know. So I say that to say that we just have to we just have to be knowledgeable, and we can't do what we don't know.
Amen.
We can't do what we don't know because our backgrounds are different. You know what I'm saying? So some people know right out what to do because they raised up in different families that taught that taught their children about finances, and some of us were not. So for the ones that are not, that were not taught, you know, it's it's important, just important that we know.
Absolutely. Shatara?
I just want to reiterate what Mom said is that, you know, if you don't know, if we don't know, we need to make it our business to learn it. Not especially in your if you're in a leadership position, because just like you learn what you need to know for your job, you need to learn what you need to know for God and serving other people. Because in a leadership position, you're going to be pulled on to assist and serve other people. So not saying to make it your main focus, although I think it should be higher on the priority list, is to kind of keep your ear to the ground and even network with sister organizations or you know, the churches that may not be in your denomination or the religious organizations that may not be in your denomination or your religion even, because there's nothing to say that the mosque can't, you know, do a school supply drive with the church, with the Catholic Church or the you know, Baptist Church. If there's a need in the community, you know, a lot of the students don't have school supplies, why can't they get together and meet the need of the community? So, but it takes somebody to learn that the need is there. Somebody has to say, do some investigation and say, okay, most of the students show up for the first week of school and they don't have school supplies, or that's what happened last year. So let's do a little research to see how many people could use the supplies. And then if the mosque down the street or the Kingdom Hall or whatever down the street, they're willing to help, then why can't everybody get together and do it, meet the need? But it takes somebody has to take the lead in it. So you have to be willing to do that research. You have to be willing to do the work. Put in the work like you put in at work. You know, the Bible says, you know, give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Guess what? You do that, all of that hard working and sweating and, you know, for Caesar, you can do a little extra work for, you know, for God. You can put in, you know, a little elbow grease to learn that, learn about that resource. It may come across to you or come to you in a side conversation, but if you know of even, you know, one or two people that can use that resource, then it's worth digging and finding out all the information you can about that resource, and then making it known to people. Even if you just have to post it on the church bulletin board or say it in the announcements on a regular basis, you know, once a month even. Say it in the announcements, hey, don't forget, this is available. If you have this need, see Sister So-and-so or Brother So-and-so or whatever. So first, you know, don't be afraid to do the research, because not everybody knows and not everybody's going to know. Nobody knows everything, but somebody has to be willing to take up that, you know, that cause and do some research. And if everybody does a little bit, then it lightens the load for everybody. That's it. There are a lot of needs that need to be met, so there is no shortage of, you know, doing that research. Yeah, to find the resources. Yep.
They are definitely there. We know that there is no shortage of resources because of how much we waste in this country. We know there's no shortage of resources because of how much we waste in my community. I know there's no shortage of resources because of how much we waste in my church. I believe a lot of us can say those same words and be 100% dead on. Shatara, Mama, I thank you, Brother Bishop. If he's out there listening, Brother Feaster, Adia, all of the religious organizations, all of the community organizations, all of the religious leaders who have participated in their own separate surveys, which I'm contemplating on, you know, how to see if I can bring those to the PRF table if we need to continue on and balance those things out that we've heard from the members of the religious organization, and then focus those things on what is the perception of those who are in religious leadership positions. And so what I'm going to do is just say thank y'all for all of the time that y'all have spent with us here on the PRF table. We'll be back next week, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Don't get afraid that when I put finale on the page today that the PRF table was done, because it was just really just closing out this chapter and moving on to the next. And we're going to have some more good topics and discussions. And as I close, let me just go to what I said before. After you hear the results, what's next? What's next for your religious organization? What's next for you as a member of your organization? But here's the most important question as we say goodbye for now. Who's next? Who's next? Nothing is going to get done unless we're willing to do it. And so my prayer is that if it's you, that you'll step up. I already know it's me. This is my attempt at stepping up to the plate in this particular area. So until next week, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Thursday night, join us here on the PRF table. God bless you. We love you, and we'll see you next week.
Okay, good night.